Good to see everybody here. Looking around, see who's here. And so if whoever's not here, I guess I don't see you. Yeah. Joey, Trevor, good to see you guys. Hey, Tracy, good to see you, bud. Yeah, brought his daughter here. Welcome. She's like, oh. Robin was sharing with me, and it was really neat because it's the funniest thing. We were watching a TV show, and she, pause it, I got to share with you this. It was a devotional she was reading while watching a TV show. Women can do that kind of stuff. Yeah. Now, I have to pause the show and, like, shut everything off to listen. So, yes, that's me. And it's about, you know, this idea that we're coming into Christmas is beholding Jesus, looking to Jesus. And that's, so I'm going to really get into this, and I'm going to start with John, the book of John, starting in chapter 1. Let's listen to this. This is interesting, and I don't think I'd ever seen it like this before. I love the fact that I've read the Bible, like, a lot, and I still read the Bible a lot, and then I still read the Bible and say, wow, I've never seen that before. And it's, like, right there in the Bible. It's always been in the Bible, and but I've never seen it before in the Bible like I've seen it. So, you guys with me? Anybody happen to anybody else? Okay. Yeah, John 1, starting in verse 29. John, the book of John, it's the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 1, verse 29, says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold. And that word behold means look, look, behold, take notice. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's just sit on that for a minute in your head and in your mind, and behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, when we consider just the lamb, a sacrificial lamb, and that was in Judaism, that was a practice to sacrifice for sins before the high priest. A perfect lamb was sacrificed for the sins of the people every year. And here's just that term in itself. I don't know if we'll it's almost like who created God. I don't know if we'll wrap our brains around it. But Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's not just a lamb, a perfect lamb that we look and we see this nice little cute little sheep without spot or blemish. That's great. But Jesus is the Lamb of God. Does anybody even know what that means? If you raise your hand, you're probably going to make something up because you really don't know what that means. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how do I even process that? God's Lamb, the Lamb of God is Jesus who takes away the sin of the world. And he says, look at him. Look at him. There he is. In verse 30, he says, this is he who I was just talking about. In fact, he was just talking about it earlier. He said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. All right. Yeah. Who created God? It's like it's really deep. I'm so amazed. And the Holy Spirit's going to take us some weird places this morning. He already forewarned me. He said, I like your notes. You got some good notes, Eric, but I might take you some weird places too. I'm like, okay. So I'm hanging on, buckling up. So in verse 31, so I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you guys realize this. I think everybody does. Maybe not everybody, but John, we know him as John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Jesus and John were cousins. You guys get that? Now, I know that this is probably deep because in the Navarez family, I think they know cousins. They have cousins all over the place that they maybe don't even realize that they have, and they know, and they may. To them, they could probably say, that's my cousin, and I've never known him before. I've never met him before. And it'd be, you'd be like, yeah, hello, right? But this isn't the case. John is actually stating something here that I need us to hear real quick. And this isn't in my notes, so the Holy Spirit's taking us here. Listen to this. John is saying, I know that Jesus. I know who Jesus is. He's my cousin. But I did not know who he was. I did not know this calling, this thing, this person that he, God, had said that he is going to be. I didn't realize that that Jesus is the Messiah. I didn't have that revelation yet. In other words, here's what I'm saying here this morning. And listen to this. This is good. Really good. And by the way, this is, yes, it's me preaching and sharing the word with you, but please interject. If you have a question, a thought, a statement, you got to do it. You got to just say, hey, just raise your hand, though, maybe, and I'll call on you, maybe. There's a lot of people in this world, and maybe even in this room, that know Jesus. They know who Jesus is, but they don't know Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying there? And this is what John is declaring here. He knew who Jesus was, but he didn't know Jesus yet until this moment. And then now he knows Jesus as Messiah, as Christ the Lord, as the chosen Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when we know Jesus that way, when we know Jesus in that regard, to where I have now say, because for me to know Jesus in that way, listen what it requires of you and I. It requires of you and I to humbly come before him and say, you are God, you are Messiah, you are Christ, and I need you. I need you. I need a Savior, I need a Messiah, I need a Christ in my life. I need a Lamb of God that takes away my sin, my guilt, my shame, everything that I've ever done, either intentionally, unintentionally, volitionally, or I don't even know, is there a word for unvolitionally? Anyway, it's things that I've thought about doing and things that I've even been tempted to do, things that I have participated in willingly and even unwillingly. And I need you, Jesus, as the Lamb of God to take away my sin. And that's what he's called to do. That's what he's done, and that's who he is. So to know Jesus as, oh, the baby Jesus who came and you know, on Christmas Day, that's what we celebrate. We know this baby Jesus that came. But to know Jesus as the Lamb of God, that's a different knowing, right? That's a different knowing. So my prayer, even today, that we will know Jesus as the Lamb of God. And yes, we do. Most of us do. But I think that there's a different a depth of knowing this. And so here's what he says. And listen, I'm going to read on. It actually is interesting because where did I leave off? Okay, this is he who I said, after man comes up, he is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And of course, the Spirit remained on him. And he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So in verse 34, he says this, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And, okay, and here's what I didn't see before. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. So the same exact thing happened the next day. Behold, the Lamb of God. Well, here's what happens this next day. The two disciples heard him speaking this, and they said, well, and so they turned, and they got it. They followed Jesus. They decided, well, wait, this John, we've been listening to him, we've been following him around and helping him baptize people and been participating with him. We're one of John's disciples. Now he's saying, follow Jesus, look at Jesus, he's the Lamb of God. So they said, oh, hey, this is who we're looking for, the Messiah. Behold, the Lamb of God. So they turned and they followed Jesus. And then verse 38, he says this, then Jesus turned and he says, seeing them following, he said, what do you seek? What are you after? What are you looking for? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to be translated teacher, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour, and one of the two disciples heard John speaking this. They followed him, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So Andrew was one of the two. And when he first found his own brother Simon, he said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And then when Jesus looked at him, he said, now you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter, translated Peter. So I'm going to get into some questions as we deal with this, as I talk about this issue of beholding Jesus, the Lamb of God. Let's look at this, because here's something that happened here, is they beheld Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and then they took action. They did something with their lives. They turned from what they were doing, and they followed him. So I'm going to ask you some questions here, and we're going to get thinking about this, and then we're going to talk about it some more, and get into some more good stuff. Is Jesus worth following? Yeah, that's a good answer. And we hear this and we see this now, and we say, yes, Jesus is worth following. These guys, obviously, because they knew, they saw that Jesus was the Lamb of God, they decided, they came to this conclusion that he was worth following. Right? Just let that mull over for a second, because if you haven't chosen to be a follower of Jesus yet, it's simply because you haven't come to the conclusion that he's worth following, right? I mean, can we deduce that and say yes? Right? You in your life, you've come to the conclusion that he's worth following, right? Yes. Let me ask you then another question. Is your life worth saving? Is your life worth saving? Now let's get into some deep stuff. You guys want to get deep with me? Just for a minute or two, or 40. I think one of our biggest issues in life as people, in a fallen world, being in a fallen state, in other words, sinful, full of shame and guilt, the enemy, and he's a real, real one, it's called Satan, loves to accuse you of having no worth. If he can convince you that your life is not worth saving, he has won about 99% of the battle right there, because he can convince you that your life really isn't even worth doing something with. Therefore, your life isn't even worth following and needing a Savior. Did my microphone go off or did it? No. We're good. So I want to discuss something with you guys. And the Lord discussed this with me this week, and it was a good discussion. I'm going to share with you some of my discussions that I had with God. Take the word value. You guys know what the word value means? It's an interesting word. It's like we use it a lot, you know, but just simply looked it up in the dictionary. And it means this. Value means, it simply means the worth of something in terms of the amount of other things for which it can be exchanged for in terms of a medium or an exchange. Did I baffle you there for a second? Really? Let me break it down in Eric's language. I'll share with you how I understand it, I have people all the time. They donate nice things to us for our thrift shop that helps fund what we do and feed thousands and thousands of people in the city of Lincoln. So what God has set up as a good work is really fun to do. It's a rewarding work. It's exciting, but it's work. It's not like it's work, right? I was looking at Les and she didn't respond, but so. Okay. It's work. But here's what I run into quite often is this, is somebody will donate to me this piece of whatever, it's a couch, a painting, a refrigerator, a washer, a dryer, some clothes. They tell me, they say, here, this has got this much value. It's worth this much. And I say, oh, that's really nice. Thank you so much. But in my mind, I'm saying, but that's not the actual value of it. Because the actual value of these items is only what somebody is willing to exchange for it. In other words, pay for it, correct? That's the actual value. Hello? Amen. You guys following with me on that?
Yep.
So value is really only determined by what somebody or someone or something is willing to back it up with. It's kind of like what we have, the value of the dollar is not much right now because there's not any much gold there to back up what we have, the dollar that we spend. You guys, and that's, I don't understand financial stuff, but I know that that's the case. So when I look at this thing and we start asking this question, is my life worth saving? Then I got to stop asking. It's like, well, what is the value of my life? What is the value of your life? What is the value of our lives? And of course, that's where we come to this conclusion. And then we can even start asking, how much do I value other people's lives? How much do I value my own life, my very soul? When I ask the question of how much do you value others, it's hinged on how much you value yourself, right? Hello? It really is. It is. Because if you value your life, if you value your life as the actual cost of what somebody is willing to pay for it, then you start to determine the value of other people's lives, what somebody is willing to pay for it. So listen, isn't it all about, when we say, yes, it's all about Jesus, when we look at this, and yeah, I'll give you the you guys know the answer to all this. Hello. We know the answer that Jesus, God, gave his life for your life. Right? So that means we have to come to this conclusion that my life has the value of God himself on it. Right? Right? Amen. Okay, my life has the value of God himself.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, that means your life has the value of God himself. Amen. That means, listen, that means people in your world, in your realm, have the value of God themselves on their life. Wow, so as I was starting to really like look at this, I'm like, this is awesome. And he stopped me as I was driving. And he started asking me these questions, God did. As I was determining to like intentionally learn this and understand this and grapple with in my brain and my heart and my soul with this the depth of my value and others people's value, I stopped and he said, no, you won't be able to, and he forewarned me. I'm serious. The Holy Spirit forewarned me. He said, you won't be able to withstand all of it, but I'm going to give you a taste. And friends, I'm going to tell you, the taste that I got of God's grace and God's love, it took me to a place that I had to pull over my vehicle and absolutely just break down and say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, God in the flesh, gave his life for my life. And I was trying to like, and the first thing I kept saying is, why? What for? What purpose? of why would you even consider such a drastic move to save someone like me? And he just simply said, because of your value. Your value was worth my very life. And that was all he gave me. And I was like, I got work to do. I gotta move on. And it was like, he said, I told you, it's just gonna give you a taste, but there's a lot more. In fact, he said this, and this is the Holy Spirit said this. He said, I love this. Listen, I want you to hear this, really, and really just take this in. You will continually discover this for eternity. You will still never, ever, ever, ever be able to know how much, but you will keep learning it for eternity. I'm like, oh man, I can hardly wait. I'm like, this is like, you mean it's going to get more and more and more, and then every single moment of eternity, there's going to be more that I'm going to discover my value in him and who he is? He said, yep. He said, I can't even give you even close to what I want to give you of how much I love you. It's like, wow. Did you want to say something, Mom, or were you just agreeing? Oh, amen. That's why, you know, when people get there, they're there. They're seeing it now. Yes, Tracy. Well, let me just try to, I'll answer that with scripture, your question, which I think I'm hearing your question, even though I'm not, I'm hearing your question. Does our value increase, is what he asked, with who we are as them becoming Christians and doing more or less for God? In other words, I think I hear kind of this question, and I think it's kind of in a lot of our brains, is does, let's say, and I could be totally wrong and off on this, there's sometimes we perceive that because I am doing what I do for God that I have more value than you. And that's not the case at all, because he tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. And that faith that we are saved by is the faith that he puts into each and every one of us. And God tells us that God divvies out faith to each one of us as he sees fit. I don't know if you realize it or not, but God has actually divvied out faith to each one of us as he sees fit. His grace is for all of us to participate in, but the faith that he gives us to do, now that faith is up to us then to walk in it and be obedient, and faith is an action word. It's a faith is something that requires us to move, and that movement of trusting God in faith is then what he's doing inside of us, is so that we are he's developing in us to do good works. It doesn't mean that our value is higher or greater. It just is he's actually putting more on us to do what he's called us to do. So your value, my value, and that's a really good question, Tracy, but I would like us to, because I think what we do is we sometimes think, well, good people have a higher value than bad people. And here's what and bad people, I don't know who's bad people. IR. Yeah, I aren't that good. Oh, George is a good one? Oh, you're a bad one or a good one? You haven't figured out yet either. You haven't figured out yet either, yeah. Yeah. I don't know who created God, so don't ask me that, okay? Amen. And that was the constant fight and lie of the devil, that I can't purchase my way back. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more or less. Amen. That's the realization I had to come to. Amen. And here's what this is where I'm going to go with the rest of this message, because it's actually, I think it's our struggle. You know, when I sat there, like I said, and I was driving and I was struggling with my value, and I kept asking, why? Why? It was because God was showing me my struggle to actually have value. We're in a fallen world. I mean, there's if I place my value on anything other than what it costs my life. Jesus said it this way. He said it this way, and I'm going to really get to preaching here in a second. He said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And then he says this. He says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your very own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? In other words, what he says, what can you gain? What can you do to purchase your soul? The very most important thing of who you are, it's actually who you are. It can't be purchased. You can't gain anything to win it. You can't. In other words, you cannot raise your value by getting a lot of stuff in this world, by knowing a lot of people in this world. Your value does not raise or lower by anything that you do or don't do in this world. That's a really tough thing to say, isn't it? Why is that a tough thing to say? Because we struggle with it. Because I want to feel like what I do gives me my value. Right? Come on, we all struggle with this. We all do. Let me stay. I know it's going really deep. Here's the thing is, when I base my value on myself, when I look at me and I say, here's my attributes, here's my qualities, and that's giving me a value. When I base my value on me, here's the hard part, and I need us to hear this. There is no sustaining, there's no sustainability in valuing myself by myself. Listen to that. That's a good statement there. It really is. I mean, it surprised me that it came to my head. It's so good. There is no sustainability in valuing myself by myself. Why? 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 Because I'm going to give you the definition of sustainability. This is why. Because to be sustainable, here's what it has to be. And I'm going to give you these three definitions. So listen to this. This is super good. It means it's capable of being supported or upheld as by having a weight from below it where it stands on. That's what sustainability is. It's also pertaining to a system that maintains its own viability by using techniques that allow for continual reuse. You guys tracking with me? And this is it. It's able to be maintained or kept going as an action. See, here's why when I place my value and I measure myself by myself, guess what happens when I'm having a bad day? I'm having no value that day. So if I measure myself by myself, it depends on what I think about myself or how I feel about myself that day. Hello, you guys with me? So there's no sustainability in that. There's nothing that keeps it going. In other words, I derail constantly if I operate on that system. Hello? Right? Yes. Amen. Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's all wrapped up in Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah.
It sure is. Because if I wrap it up in myself, mm-hmm. whether it's I'm good or bad this day or that day, and then what happens, and we run into even a deeper trap, is if I base my value on whether I'm feeling good or thinking good about myself, what I also am aligning myself to do is I need to find out what you guys think about me. I have to find out what you guys feel about me. Because that's so imperative to how I'm feeling and doing and then my value. Do you guys understand that? You guys, anybody else wrestle with that one? No, you guys are all good. You don't care what I think about you. You're just like, yeah, you're fine. You're good in Jesus. Yeah, I'm glad that you guys are all good in Jesus. You don't need me to tell you that, right? Right, right? Right, I know some of your issues, and no, you're not. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, go ahead. Well, no. When, you did. Good call. You did hear it right. But what I was actually portraying is the issue is when I develop my value in myself, what it's calling me to do. The next step in the process is then to determine what you all think and feel about me. So the cycle, it doesn't stop there because you can't, nobody just sits in a corner and says, I just feel good about myself and think good about myself. Well, no, wait, hold on. Yeah. None of you sit in a corner and just deal with yourself all day long and nobody else. Nobody does that. If you could do that, then this whole thing would be super easy. It'd be easy. Because we don't. Even if you do sit by yourself and in a corner all by yourself, thinking about yourself and feeling good about yourself, there's something wrong with you. You probably got padded walls around you, and that might be what you need. But so the next step is to then determine what other people think and feel about you, because that's the next step in the process of determining my value of myself by myself, because then it's determined by what you all think of me, right? Right, right. And so I did say that. No.
That's a bad thing.
That's not a good thing.
That's the point. The point is it's bad.
I'm trying to make a bad point before I make a good one. Yeah. Whew, I needed to precede that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I thought.
You got to let him finish sometime.
Yeah.
Just roll with it, baby.
Yeah. Yes. Totally. Amen. Yeah. Amen. As the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That means my sin. You know, the taking away taking away. In the Greek, it means taking away. That means removing. It's gone. Hello? Anybody know that? Do you know Jesus?
That's called dancing.
That was, did I actually dance?
That was dancing.
I wasn't thinking about it. That was cool. I need to, anyway. So when we come to this conclusion and we come to this understanding like the disciples did, these first two, they said, aha, it's Jesus, the Lamb of God. Let's follow him. Your life is worth. Your life has value enough that Jesus gave his life for it, and he's called you to follow him. Now, here's what I want us to just, I'm going to go just to another little element in this, and it's going to be fun to think about this, because if I value myself by myself, and then I determine what you guys think about me too, you know, what I actually come that I become, and this is, I'm going to throw something at you that you might not like, but we need to understand it and hear it this. Do you realize what is the most comfortable temperature of a room? What is the most comfortable temperature of a room? Everyone's got a little bit of a different, yeah. Some of you are like, oh, it's cold in here. Turn the heater on. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it's roasting. I'm burning up. And it's like it becomes comfortable to uncomfortable. Typically, it's about 72 degrees is a comfortable temperature, correct? Unless you're my wife, then it's got to be in the 60s for it to be comfortable. So here's what I, you know, as you walk into a room, you like it comfortable, correct? Track with me on this. Do you know what the temperature of comfort is? Lukewarm. Lukewarm. Lukewarm is when you walk into a room and it's comfortable. You guys feeling me for a second? Jesus said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And what that means, and then he went on to say, he says, you think you have no need of anything because you have this, you have that, you have clothes, you have money, you have friends. You have people around you that tell you that you're doing just fine. You're lukewarm. Yikes. I know, huh? I've always thought of that when I've read that before, I've always thought of that like as a liquid. And the reason we think of that is because Jesus said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Well, so we always translate it to a liquid. But what about the atmosphere of a room, of an environment, of a workplace, of a family dynamic, of people in your life that are just really, really difficult? What do you bring into the room? Because here's the thing is, you are called, and we are all challenged and called to do this one thing. You are called to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. A thermometer does this. What does a thermometer do? It measures and tells you the temperature of the room, correct? A thermostat dictates what the temperature is. So, yes, the world needs more thermometers because nobody knows what's going on in the world, right? We all need to just be telling everybody what's wrong in the world, right? That's what Facebook is for. To just tell everybody what is wrong because we don't have enough of that going on. I was being sarcastic and facetious, by the way. He got that one good. Sorry, Terry. Is it funny how you get stuck somewhere in your head and you're like, you gotta help me get out of there. He gave us so we're called to actually be something different in our environment. Jesus called it salt and light. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the earth. Salt of the earth, light of the world. You are that. In other words, you're going to come into an environment. Everywhere you go, the environment you step into, you're going to alter it. You're going to change it instead of become like it. And that's what he's calling us to do, that this thing that he said, I'm going to spit you out of, lukewarmness, is where we become like the culture. So what I'm doing here this morning, I'm getting us to this place of having an understanding that I can have a sustainable, something that holds me up and continues to do something in me and create and develop something in me of value. Value of myself and value of others. You guys with me? Because when I do that, when I come to that sustainability of revelation of value of myself and others, I can go throughout my day and it doesn't matter what's going on in my day. I can run across situations and people and understand that that person has value. I have value. And the situation or the circumstances that are causing somebody to be upset or riled up or even angry, I could still say that person still has value. Or if they become hurtful. Anybody hurt by somebody in here?
Yes.
Yeah. And that person that hurts you, guess what? They have the same value as you. It's hard to really believe and accept it, but they do. Did you know that? Did anybody know that? Okay. Sorry. Yes. I got to tell you this really quick story. As I was learning, you know, God was really like, okay, I'm going to set out and I'm going to be intentional about just seeing Jesus as he saw them. I'm going to be like Samuel the prophet. Well, No, he kind of screwed it up, and then God said to correct him. He's, you know, where he, you know, God said, you know, told him to pick a king, you know, go find a king, and he went to Jesse's family, and he went to all his sons, and God said, well, and he said, well, none of them are the ones that you've chosen. And God remembered, said, well, there's one more, but he's out in, he's taking care of the sheep, and it was David. And the word that we get from that, if you guys remember it, is God told Samuel, the prophet, God's prophet, he told him, he said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the inside. He looks at the heart. So this is why I was like, I'm going to be like Samuel. I want to look at the heart and just look at where people are at. And I'm like, yes, and this is, I'm just like, ah, I was pumped up for the day. Super excited. First stop, bam, I knock on the door. I'm just like smiling, cheery, like I'm bringing a thermostat. I'm going to bring joy and love and all this awesome just goodness into this person's life. Right? Bam. It's like, bam, I'm going to bam them. And they's like, and then they started showing me all this furniture that was absolutely garbage. It was disgusting. And it was like, oh, and I was like, praise the Lord. What an opportunity. I was like, oh, and so I started to explain. I'm sorry, ma'am. We cannot take this stuff. It's got to be sellable. We can't take it. It's just really, it's not in a condition that we could sell it. Boy, she lit into me. Woo! I mean, lit into me like big time. I mean, I it's like, whoa, man, I didn't know that older ladies had that kind of mouth. It's like, wow, cussing me out. And I'm like, wow, she's cussing me out. I'm like, thank you, God. I mean, what happened? You know, and I'm still thinking, I'm a thermostat. So I'm like, okay, praise the Lord. She's cussing me out. And the whole world screwed up now. The whole world is just screwed up. Because homeless people won't like this piece of crap dog-chewed coffee table. They should be happy to get it. And I'm just like, oh. Okay. So I just started to just say kind things to her and just really bless her and say, you know what, I'm super sorry. I just really tried to just be a blessing, and I just blessed her and blessed her and blessed her. And I'm going to tell you this, guys, and this literally really did happen. If it didn't happen before my eyes, I couldn't make it up. Literally before my eyes, from cussing me out to looking for something else to give me that had value. That's where she went. It was the coolest thing. I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I had to laugh at God because he's like, you said you wanted to do this. I'm like, okay, maybe just one more stop, God, one more stop, and I'll be okay. Can I have a nice day today? But seriously, you know, and Jesus called us to do this, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to read this in passage of Scripture. I've just been talking a lot, haven't I? So I'm going to read some Scripture. I believe that Jesus has given us some extreme instructions to live by, but they're only doable by the direction and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you try to do them on your own, and you'll get blasted out of the water. You'll become a thermometer if you try to do it on your own, because you'll be basing it on what somebody else is thinking and feeling about you. You guys tracking with me for a second? Let me explain through the Word of God, this that Jesus said this. This is Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount. And listen to this. And I'm gonna insert some words. So I'm not being heretical here, but I'm gonna insert some words that you'll catch on to. Listen to this. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 27. And the subtitle will say, love your enemies. Jesus said this, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, for they have value. Do good to those who hate you, for they have value. Bless those who curse you, for they have value. And pray for those who spitefully use you, for they have value. And to him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also, because they have value. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either, for they have value. Give to everyone who asks of you, for they have value. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back, for they have value. The person has value over your stuff. Ooh. Ah. Yeah, that's a deep one, isn't it? Isn't it? When we get real about it. And then he goes on and he says this in verse 30. So I'm going to just go on for a little bit more. Can I? Okay. Give to everyone who... Oh, I already did that. Verse 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise, because they have value. For if you just love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But I say to you, love your enemies, for they have value. Do good, for they have value. Lend, for they have value. Hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unfaithful and the evil. Did you guys just hear that? Did you hear that? What that does, and it's supposed to do and intended to do, Jesus is saying this to get his disciples on the same page as him. You know, we want to be in the same book, but we also want to be on the same page as Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus means we have to do the things that Jesus did, and he placed value on every single individual, every single soul. That means including my own. Yes, grapple with it. Would you please wrestle with that. Wrestle with it as much as you possibly can. And do not relent. Do not give up until you have been pinned down by God. Until he has pinned you down and he has shown you that he values your life enough to give his life for you. Do you understand me? Are you hearing me? I mean, do that. Do that. And if you got to pull over, whatever you got to do, wrestle with God about it. He can take it. And I'm going to tell you, he's stronger than you. He's going to win. He's going to win. But you got to have the wrestling match. I know you guys understand what I'm talking about. Because you know what you're wrestling with even very now, this very moment. This very moment, this very day, you're wrestling with the very truth. And the idea that I am up here saying that your life has enough value for God's life to be given for it. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal that to each and every one of us. Even the words that I just said, unless God the Holy Spirit shows you and reveals it to you, they're just going to be words that somebody's preaching. So please wrestle with that and then understand it, receive it, and then show it, live it. Live it in front of others. Live it and give that value to others. You know, that lady that cussed me out, it didn't matter to me. It didn't matter to me one single bit, because her life had value. And if I could just come into that situation where she's obviously wrestling and struggling with stuff and be kind and show her that it's not about stuff, it's about people, and it's about that which really matters. Man, God's kingdom is being revealed. God's kingdom is come. Right? God's kingdom is come. It's part of our prayer. Right? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And each and every one of us have got an opportunity to be a thermostat in your environment. Walk into a room and say, how can I alter it For the good, that is. Right? How can I alter the temperature of this room to where it's no longer lukewarm? Guess what, though? It makes the room sometimes a little uncomfortable. Right? Lukewarm is comfort. Hello? Not too excited about that one, are we? Yeah. Let me read this last passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. Because I love it, because he's, again, beholding the Lamb of God. Listen to this, 12, verse 1 through 6. And I'm going to read out the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses. This is following Hebrews chapter 11, obviously, in what we refer to as the hall of faith, if you will. All of the examples of people from Scripture that have trusted God. Since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd or cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off everything that weighs us down, slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And each and every one of us got an easy trip up. So let us strip it, let's remove it, and let us run with the endurance, the race that God has set before us. That we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. I love that. Jesus, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, keeping our eyes on Jesus, beholding Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that was awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and want to give up. You know, the tapping out, the giving up part, is that place that God is bringing us to. He said, keep on going. And when we give up, when we sell out, when we just say no more. There's people that aren't here today because they've given up. They're right at the threshold of God's blessing and God, what God was doing in their life, and they've given up. So don't give up. Even in the face of sin and your struggle against sin. And he says, and then you have forgotten, when we want to give up, we've forgotten the encouraging words that God spoke to his children. And he said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he corrects each one he accepts as a child. Amen. So again, I'm going to just go back to the definition, and we're going to pray. You have as much value as someone is willing to give in exchange for your life. Jesus gave his life for yours and for those that hurt you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us this morning. Thank you for the revelation of your Spirit, of your love, your kindness, your goodness, the depths of this place that we struggle with, we wrestle with. Because we're just so inundated, we're so flooded with performance and what the world wants to place as a value system. And yet yours is placed on you, Jesus. Your value system is all that really matters. And when you tell us that we just simply need to trust you and confess with our mouth that you are Lord, and believe in our heart that you died for my sins as the Lamb of God, and you took away my sins, that now I have the freedom to be who you've called me to be, and to love those in my life that need you, Jesus, just as much as I do. So thank you, Jesus. And as we again just get swallowed up in the Christmas season of decorations and gifts and family and friends and fun and music, Lord, we look to you. We look to you. We fix our gaze on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We thank you, Jesus, and give you glory. Amen and amen. Amen.